Start your mornings on the right foot
and listen to the Morning Jam 6 to 9 a.m.
We're glad to have Blair Ford. She is from Centra and she is a nurse practitioner, thoracic surgery, lung cancer screening clinic. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about this month. It's a month of lung cancer awareness.
That's right. Yeah, November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month, and we're really trying to bring awareness to this because lung cancer is actually the leading cause of cancer death.
Wow.
And this year alone, over 235,000 Americans will be diagnosed with lung cancer. And so one way to really bring awareness to this is to talk about lung cancer screening.
So this is a lot more people, it seems, because, you know, the folks that have given us an awareness of breast cancer have done such a good job. Is it Susan B. Komen? Is that right?
That's right.
They've done an amazing job to bring, and there's a lot of folks, a lot of men, that prostate cancer is a big thing. As far as awareness, when I think of lung cancer, by default, I think of people that smoke cigarettes, and that is true in some cases, but not always. I've also heard the stories of people getting lung cancer that never smoked a cigarette in their life.
Well, there are other ways, though, that you can have that if you're exposed.
Asbestos or whatever.
In an industry like the building industry,
right.
That's exactly right. You can be exposed to things.
Asbestos, radon, diesel exhaust, mm-hmm. Family history, those are all additional risk factors for developing lung cancer.
Right.
And, probably 18 to 20% of lung cancers are in folks who have never smoked.
Mm-hmm.
So also secondhand smoke.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, you do hear of that. Sometimes people who grew up in homes with parents that smoked.
That's right.
You would see them in the cars. I mean, the car would be just billowing with it. I mean, it's just crazy.
It is.
But now, especially with in light of COVID, mm-hmm. When you see how COVID impacts your respiratory system, the pneumonia, that type of thing. Now, if it was ever a time to stop smoking, to stop those risk factors, it's now.
That's exactly right. Lung health is very important these days, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And when I was a little girl, of course, this was in the 70s, I guess, when they really started talking about the dangers of smoking and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember begging my dad to stop smoking.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, even to him, the difference in his lungs from just a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I mean, just incredible. That alone kept him from ever going back and picking one up.
Absolutely.
But
smoking kind of keeps your airway in a, constant state of inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the inflammation that causes, the coughing and the mucus. So, while smoking can cause some very, lasting, permanent damage, the inflammation in your airway certainly improves. And so the coughing and the mucus and a lot of those chronic bronchitis symptoms do absolutely improve. So we encourage patients to quit smoking not only to prevent lung cancers, but to prevent chronic lung disease. And
mm-hmm.
it also increases your risk of stroke and heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it's really, quitting smoking is one of the best things you can do for your overall health and well-being.
What about the popularity of the vaping thing? Has it been out there long enough for us to get an understanding of what that's doing to young people primarily, it seems?
Yeah, we really don't have enough data yet to
mm-hmm.
know. We worry, though, because the data's not there. We don't know whether it could be worse, So
right.
we, as a healthcare provider, we cannot recommend vaping as, an alternative to smoking or as a way to quit smoking.
I remember, now this is going back to the 70s, late 70s, seeing a video. They were trying to use, I guess, kind of shocking kids in school and stuff. And they showed, a lung that had been opened, cut in half, of a smoker. And it was literally black on the inside, the kind of trying to shock us. This is what's going on. And then I remember the first time you inhale a cigarette, that a chemical change actually kind of starts on the inside of your lung,
mm-hmm.
that it actually begins your first inhalation of a cigarette.
Yeah,
things begin to change. So is it true, like Janet said with her dad, you know, also heard if you smoke 10 years, it may take 10 years for your lungs to kind of get back to where they were. Is that still kind of the standard? Or
yeah, well, we again, you know, there, when we think about things like emphysema, you know, it's kind of like once the damage is done,
it's done.
There's gotcha. You know, we can't give you a pill or grow you a new lung,
so, right,
you know, we, the only way to prevent further damage to your lung is complete abstinence.
Okay.
You know, people try to cut back to improve that, but yeah, the best way is complete abstinence.
Yeah.
One of the things that it just seems like I've seen more of in the past 10, maybe 15 years is the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. Is that, I mean, what are the reasons for that similar to the lung cancer?
Yeah, so COPD is really chronic bronchitis, which, you know, the clinical definition for chronic bronchitis is a daily cough that produces mucus. The O part of COPD stands for obstruction in the lungs. And the only way to really know if you have obstruction in your lungs is to do what's called a pulmonary function test. And a pulmonary function test will, you know, take some measurements and tell you if you have the O part of COPD. So again, the symptoms are, you know, usually a daily cough that produces mucus. Patients can have shortness of breath,
right,
and wheezing. Those are all things that go along with
and
COPD.
Even tightness of the chest and just being really tired. Sometimes you lose weight.
Yes.
With it. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about insurance, paying for screening, and then, you know, what happens during a low dose CT screening test.
Yeah. Yeah. So lung cancer screening is actually looking for signs of lung cancer in someone who does not have any symptoms of lung cancer. And so other examples of screening are like mammograms for breast cancer, pap smears for cervical cancer, colonoscopies for colorectal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so for lung cancer screening, we use something called a low-dose CT scan, which is really the only proven method we have for looking for lung cancers. You know, we used to try to use chest x-rays before the technology was mm-hmm. there, but they are really not good tests for looking for lung cancer. And so we have these studies that show that screening those who are at high risk for lung cancer and before symptoms are present help us find these lung cancers earlier when they're a lot more treatable and even curable.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about who is at high risk, annual screening is recommended for those whose age and smoking history place them at higher risk for lung cancer. And that means that they have at least a 20-pack year history of smoking, and they currently smoke or have quit within the last 15 years.
Okay.
And so most commercial insurances cover individuals aged 50 to 80, while Medicare is covering those aged 50 to 77. And they have recently put out a statement, I believe it was on the 18th of this month, saying that they are expanding their coverage based on the latest U.S. Preventative Task Force recommendations, which is to expand age 50 to 80 with at least a 20-pack year history of smoking.
Okay. And then the insurances, as far as the screening, and then I think they, in the long run, don't want to have the other happen if we can catch it early.
Exactly. So they've seen the results of these large-scale studies, and mm-hmm. so based on that, they are paying 100% for an annual low-dose CT, so at zero cost to the patient.
Okay.
And so, you know, we need to spread the word. We need, you know, to tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors. We have data from the American Lung Association that showing that Virginia is only screening 7.6% of folks who are eligible for screening. So we can do a lot better.
Tell us where folks can go to get screened or how they can get information.
Yeah.
Because again, we're at a time where your lung health is more important than it has ever been, to manage it,
right,
should you get COVID, that type of thing.
Yeah. So if you think you fit the high risk criteria, I, the I would start by asking your primary care provider. You know, most primary care providers can order a low-dose CT. And we also offer a centralized lung cancer screening program through the Pearson Cancer Center in the thoracic surgery department. Mm-hmm. So we are happy for you to call us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for
being here.
This is great information. Oh, you're welcome. Blair Ford, she is a nurse practitioner, thoracic surgery, lung cancer screening clinic for the Centrum Medical Group. Thanks for stopping by the Morning Jam this morning, and I hope you have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. It is 8:17. I'm getting the hour right, Janet.
Look at you.
Yeah, it was 8:17 an hour ago, too.
Been muddying it up today.
I sure have.
Well, we all have been.
We're going to come back with some local stories. Also, some fun things. Janet's got another Five and Dine. We'll do somewhere around 8:46. Don't go anywhere.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb. The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
So nice to have Blair in the studio. We'll have her interview uploaded along with our Morning Jam eye-opener, along with Janet's Five and Dine. We do that somewhere before 12 o'clock, depending on the day. Go to our SoundCloud page by going to SoundCloud, type in the Morning Jam on VTRN, and then begin typing in today's date, and all of our audio files will pop up there, Miss Janet.
Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about some of the weekend news. One of the biggest stories, of course, the result of the Rittenhouse verdict. The Massachusetts University hosts a segregated processing space for responding to the Rittenhouse verdict.
Oh, so you can go in your own corner and cry or something?
Well, they hosted several processing spaces segregated by race.
Wow.
In response to the Kyle Rittenhouse trial verdict, which found him not guilty on all right, charges.
This is how we communicate.
So we've already had the brilliant students at JMU weighing in on the two beautiful black lives that were lost in the Rittenhouse situation, which of course those of us who actually paid attention to the trial and the whole situation would know that no black lives were lost during that entire encounter. But that didn't keep JMU from letting that get out there. But Fitchburg State University Center for Diversity and Inclusiveness announced the processing spaces and an email to campus community members, which also erroneously stated that Jacob Blake was killed.
So right.
There's that. Center for Diversity and Inclusiveness is creating space for our community to process the not guilty on all accounts verdict in the Kenosha, Wisconsin case where Kyle Rittenhouse, an Illinois native, shot and killed two people protesting the wrongful death of Jacob Blake in 2020. There's another one. Kyle was acquitted of all charges in the case after driving to Wisconsin with an automatic rifle.
Right.
I mean, there's so many buzzers on this. Blake was paralyzed but not killed after being shot by a police officer in August of 2020. The police officer who responded to the domestic disturbance call that led to Blake's shooting was not charged by the state or by federal government after investigations, which is kind of a miracle unto itself because now they're trying to make, you know, examples out of people.
Oh, sure.
The four processing spaces included a students of color processing space, white student ally processing space, faculty and staff of color processing space, and a white facility and staff ally processing space. Why do we need separate spaces?
I don't know.
I thought we were trying to bring people together.
That's what we do on Tuesdays. Come to the table.
Right. Fitchburg State University spokesperson pointed Fox News to a statement the university made on Friday night stating that, quote, some factual errors were included in the original communication.
Okay.
All right, then.
That's how you're covering it?
Well, I mean, that's how they cover, you know, Biden, right?
Well, true.
You know, it's just misunderstanding.
Right.
Just
that's just Joe.
Misquoted, misspoke.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
One person that's been showing up a lot, rearing up quite a bit in the whole Rittenhouse trial, was Al Sharpton.
Yeah, Reverend Al's been out there quite a bit here, and Meet the Press had him on. He was on the illustrious panel.
Welcome back. Panelists with us, NBC News senior White House correspondent Kelly O'Donnell, civil rights attorney and former prosecutor David Henderson, the Reverend Al Sharpton, president, of course, of the National Action Network and host of Politics Nation on MSNBC, and Republican pollster Kristen Soltis Anderson. I want to start to talk about the Rittenhouse verdict, beginning with statements from both President Biden and Vice President Harris. Take a listen.
I stand by what the jury has concluded. The jury system works, and we have to abide by it.
As many of you know, I've spent a majority of my career working to make the criminal justice system more equitable, and clearly there's a lot more work to do.
More
Sharpton,
equitable.
I heard two very different statements there. They were not necessarily as in sync as I thought they might be.
Well, I think that when you deal with the fact that, as Vice President Harris said, she has dealt with criminal justice cases directly, whereas President Biden didn't, I think that they have different views that converge at the same place. He's respecting the decision of the jury. Mm-hmm. I think the jury had to deal with bad law, and I think that you can question the prosecution and certainly the judge, who sounded in many cases like he was part of the defense team. But notwithstanding that, I think that she has a background that has dealt with a lot of this. You know, when I was listening to the senators, both senators this morning, I think we're forgetting that the whole context of Rittenhouse coming there was around a protest of a police brutality situation. And this was not like a guy was defending himself at his house. He came to confront a situation of protest. And those kind of protests, I think Vice President Harris is familiar with. And I think that many of us that do protest, as you say, I hit National Action Network, are concerned, do you send a signal now that people can come into a protest and exacerbate a situation or get involved in a situation and kill people and say I was just defending myself? That's very frightening.
You know, Kristen, this is...
You're very frightening.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the... it was either... well, this is NBC News from the Meet the Press, but MSNBC is tied to him. I think it was Joy Reid last week that said that, you know, the judge was... just stopped short of being part of the defense team member. You know, he was trying to keep order in his court. I mean, MSNBC sent somebody following the jury bus, followed them away from the courtroom. We still don't know why, because the guy ran a couple red lights and got pulled over. So he didn't have the final, I guess, destination where they took all the jurors to. You know, what were they going to do there? Try to expose them? Dox them? I mean, this is what they're known for, is doxing people.
What I find fascinating is you've got Kamala up there talking about how she's worked tirelessly
right.
to make the system more equitable. And if you just take just a brief look at her career, I mean, some of the things that she did... I mean, she rejected calls from civil rights groups to investigate deadly police shootings in Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Yeah.
She required body cams for Department of Justice agents, but didn't support legislating mandating them for all police officers. As district attorney for San Francisco, she sparked a decade-long feud with police unions for declining to pursue the death penalty for a gang member who murdered a San Francisco police officer. That seems equitable. Mm-hmm. She also prosecuted parents of habitually truant students, sending threatening letters to them repeatedly. She also opposed a state initiative to soften minimum mandatory sentences. One of her worst scandals was when a technician was caught skimming cocaine from a crime lab and mishandling evidence. A judge ruled her office failed to disclose the information to defense attorneys. Hmm. That caused more than 600 drug-related cases to get tossed.
Wow. Wow. That's negligence.
And then now, you know, she's against marijuana charges. Mm-hmm. During her tenure, she sent 1,560 people behind bars for marijuana-related offenses, even though now she acts like that right. She always supported.
Well, somebody commented, overreach. Like what you just said, they studied her work and found out she's not as progressive as she claims to be.
Well, not in action, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Currently, we have 50 degrees in Roanoke and Salem, 48 in Danville, 48 in Bedford, and 46 in Lynchburg.
Governor-elect Glenn Youngkin wants to eliminate the 2.5 grocery tax on day one of his administration. That would be next year in January. The Commonwealth is currently one of 14 states that has a tax on groceries. The tax, he said, is unnecessary. It's a regressive tax. It hurts the poor. So he wants to eliminate it. He says he's going to do it. He says the average family pays up to $165 a year in the Lynchburg area. He sort of zeroed in on Lynchburg. For example, prepared foods will still be taxed along with alcoholic beverages. Regardless, that leaves an array of foods that would be tax-free, like spices, homemade breads, sodas, old-fashioned candies, deli meats, cheeses, greens, and snack items, according to one of the young ladies at the Anderson Country Market in Amherst. So that will be happening beginning of next year. We'll see what happens. I sure could use $165, Janet, to help put gas in my vehicle since gas has went off the rails.
Well, that'll get you like a tank and a half, maybe.
Yeah. That's about it.
Maybe. Well, a major roadway in Roanoke was closed this morning after a vehicle fire. According to VDOT, a tractor trailer caught on fire on 581 near exit 3E and Virginia 101 East, causing delays for drivers. All southbound lanes are closed between Hershberger and Valley View Boulevard. That's going to make for an interesting commute. This happened a little before 5 a.m. this morning. They say they expect it to take several hours to clean up. Hazmat crew has also responded, and the driver of the tractor trailer is said to have escaped the crash without injury. So that's good news there.
No, no doubt. A former Virginia officer who was terminated after donating to the defense fund of Kyle Rittenhouse is now calling for his job back, according to the Daily Mail. Lieutenant William Kelly of the Norfolk Police Department, we covered this story way back when, was fired in April after it was revealed that an anonymous donation of $25 was made to the Rittenhouse Give, Send, Go. His identity was brought to light. That would be the officer's identity was brought to light during a data breach of the website, which showed he used his official email address. So in the note, he says, giving $25, he says to Kyle Rittenhouse, God bless, keep your head up. You've done nothing wrong. Every rank and file police officer supports you. Don't be discouraged by the actions of the political class of law enforcement leadership. So, Mr. Kelly asking for his job back. We'll see what happens, Janet. Mm.
Fairfax County Public Schools filed suit against two moms after the Fairfax County residents shared information on the internet that the school district gave them. This past week, a judge delivered a blow to the district's lawsuit. Fairfax County Public Schools has a budget of $3 billion. It's the largest school district in Virginia. The two moms, Deborah Tisler and Callie Ottinger, are on a mission to expose how the school board is spending taxpayer money and more. The moms say they've been concerned for years now. This fall, Tisler requested documents on how the school board is spending taxpayers' dollars through the Freedom of Information Act. Mm. After FCPS handed over more than 1,300 pages of information, the moms posted some of the documents on their website so that others could read it. Mm. They took the Fairfax County moms to court, asking a circuit court judge to censor the information on the moms' websites in a preliminary injunction motion. This past week, the judge denied most of that request, delivering a legal win to the moms who are seeking transparency. The school district told a local news organization they're surprised and concerned by the ruling. They said the school district inadvertently included information that is exempted from production under the FOIA law. Well, that's just showing another level of incompetency, isn't it?
Yeah.
They said it filed the suit against the moms after they refused to accept corrected copies and proceeded to disseminate some of the original records on the internet. In a statement, a school district spokesperson said that they do not support the deliberate and intentional sharing of sensitive student or employee information.
Okay.
They submitted the request and shared the response. Ottinger published the documents on her website, and before PCPS took legal action, she said she redacted the pages and published documents related to waste, HIPAA concerns, misuse of bonds proceedings, various division superintendent staff matters, internal investigations of Blackboard remote learning platform, various school board members matters.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Last week, they said the school board's action showed as much a prior restraint as there ever could be, and the court noted the district's argument that the information in the invoices were simply not relevant and almost frivolous. They said this is not the final ruling.
Okay.
There's just a lot of stuff going on.
Sure.
In Fairfax County.
Well, something going on in the studio this morning.
Oh, you have your ginger cookie.
So what is the calorie content of this cookie?
I don't know. That's a homemade cookie. None of them were exactly the same size.
So
We ended up with far too many desserts.
Okay.
I used to just make peanut butter pie.
Oh.
And then I would make fall kind of cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I have to make peanut butter pie for the children.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy wants the ginger cookies. That's what I brought you this morning.
Right.
My Mark wants a pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister ended up bringing a homemade lemon pie homemade butterscotch pie.
Wow. Holy cow.
It's a wonder the dessert table didn't just collapse under the mere weight of it all. But
well,
and you'll be pleased to know that I just had a ginger cookie. That's all I had.
Really good for you. Well, mm-hmm. You brought two, so
good for you only eating one, because I have to tell you they're at that level of sweetness where they're not so so sweet that I could eat a couple at a sitting.
Oh yeah, well I may have to eat the other one after the show. So have you and Mark? I know you had your Thanksgiving feast early. I'm sure after dishes were cleaned and put up, you got out the calculator and brought it to the table, and you started calculating how much more you spent this year, right? Is that what you did?
No, it isn't. But I know it was more.
Yeah.
For sure. And because I went ahead and bought some things to get ready for Christmas. Because
sure. Who knows by then?
Right. That's right.
The Thanksgiving dinner items during a 2021 cost survey, 24% hike in turkey. 15% hike in bread and grains, things like that. And the best I can tell from the picture, it's a cartoonish looking picture. It's cranberry sauce up 11%. Now, you made your own cranberry sauce. We had that story last week, a little bit of a catastrophe.
It was good, though. Yeah,
but it turned out good.
It did. But man, my stovetop suffered mightily for it.
Yeah. So overall, costs are definitely going up for those. And I guess, I don't know this for sure, for those of you that are like going to Cracker Barrel like we've done in the past, we're not doing that this year, but I wonder what those costs went up, because these companies, they just can't afford to absorb. I know a local brewery who had absorbed the extra cost of his hops. He actually had to change countries too. He had to go from getting them in Germany to Australia.
Hmm.
And, there's a cost difference there because, I don't know, maybe it had to do with the pandemic. I'm not sure what all happened there. But he had been absorbing the ingredients cost hikes to not raise his prices. Now, I think he was going to have to change that beginning next year. So I think we're going to look at some of these companies that will absorb it for a little while, but then sooner or later, they've just got to, by virtue of survival, pass it on to us.
Well, even dry cleaners are being hit.
Are they
now?
Okay,
they're caught up in the supply chain crisis. A spokesperson for the National Cleaners Association said that plastic bags that cover clothes have jumped in price primarily due to the cost of, drum roll please, oil.
Well, it is a petroleum-based item. People don't think about that.
They don't think about that. No. They don't think about all the things in their cabinets, all these people chaining themselves
to
the pipeline.
We're going to shut down the oil supply.
Yeah, they don't realize all the things that are that's going to impact, which is just brilliant.
Sure.
But they say hangers are also manufactured mostly overseas. And they're saying that the price of most of their supplies swelled to just unreasonable levels. That started in August.
Wow.
And even though they charge a lot, we have to buy them. She even showed us the records. A box of plastic bags went from $32 in February to $45.58 in October.
Wow.
Shirt hangers went from $24, $23.99 to $37. Then the pants hangers went from, this was a big one, $37.99 to $62.
Holy cow.
That's a big difference.
That's almost a doubling.
This one person that they interviewed in Woodbridge says she's not raising prices, but she says she's going to have to if it keeps on.
Yeah.
She says the cost of pants hangers are even higher through her supplier. Last year I bought 500 pieces at $39, now it's $79. Can you believe it? How can I survive it?
Sure. And especially for these like 250 cleaners, I mean, there's not a lot of margin to cut into there.
And they're saying now that they're asking customers to bring back the hangers. We want to recycle them, which we should be doing anyway.
Sure.
Because I don't know anybody that uses those hangers in their closet.
Sure.
I have a certain hanger that I use. They're not the no wire coat hangers. Right. That's my theory.
There you go.
So, if you have a lot of dry cleaning done, recycle those hangers. They need you to do it.
Yeah, gotcha. All righty then. It is 8:46 on the Morning Jam.
It's time for Janet's 5 and Dine on the Morning Jam. Give her 5 minutes, and she'll give you some great inspiration for a delicious meal tonight.
Five and Dine is brought to you by our friends at F&L Market. They're located on Memorial Avenue in Lynchburg. They are cutting and grinding fresh meats every single day, and they encourage you to come by and see them. They have everything you need for your holiday table and your pantry. They're going to help you get that filled up as well. And Todd and the crew is always there to serve you and the entire community. When you go by, make sure you tell them that Janet sent you. Today's recipe is a really nice appetizer dish to add to your Thanksgiving table. If you're not a fan of your traditional cranberry, but you like the way that looks on your table, try this baked brie cranberry in a bread bowl. You're going to start by preheating your oven to 350 degrees. Then you're going to take a round crusty bread loaf that you can just get in your bakery section there, and you're going to scoop out the middle. You're going to basically put your wheel of brie on there and kind of score the top of your bread.
Okay.
And then you're going to cut out just enough of that, and I like to cube it and put it on the bake sheet next to the big loaf that you're going to be cooking this, well, delicious monstrosity in. So you'll take the bread and you'll score it all the way around, so it's going to be easily terrible as you you want to be able to tear it. I just want to make sure that I was clear on that. You're going to put your the brie, you're going to take the rind off of it in this particular application, and then you're going to set it down into the bowl. And then you're going to put your cranberry sauce on top of it and sprinkle it with a little bit of thyme. Put it in your 350 degree oven. Leave it for about 20 minutes until everything is nice and ooey and gooey and delicious. And then you'll bring it out, let it come back to a little bit, you know, solid state, because it's going to be really, really, really hot when you take it out of there. So 25 minutes, and then by the time you get it on there and get it all arranged, it should be ready to eat. and it looks like you've gone to a lot of trouble, but you really didn't. Check out the recipe by going to our Facebook page, type in Janet's Five and Dine, and you'll see this recipe and all the recipes that we share here on The Morning Jam, brought to you by F&L Market, where their meats are a cut above.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark.
I come from a long line of Southern cooks, and one thing my mama always told me was ingredients matter. That's why I trust the experienced butchers at F&L Market, Lynchburg's only locally and family-owned independent grocery store. Their staff cuts and grinds fresh meats daily and will offer you the personal service you desire for everyday meals or special occasions. This week at F&L Market, save on Thanksgiving staples like Sugar Tree Spiral Sliced Hams, $2.19 a pound. North Carolina Sweet Potatoes are 69 cents a pound. Duncan Hines Cake Mix is 99 cents with a frosting 2 for $3. And Grade A Large Eggs are $1.49. F&L Market is closed on Thanksgiving Day, and they wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving. Become a VIP Savings Text Club member by texting FL Market to 833-605-1804. Stop by F&L Market today, 2517 Memorial Avenue, Lynchburg. Their meat is a cut above.
The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. Go ahead. Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up,
get on up,
get up,
get on up. Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
8:53. Hopefully you're up by now.
It
is Monday. James Brown to get you going this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris calling in from Bedford. He wanted to talk about things that are petroleum-based there, Miss Janet. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. So what are your
Janet,
thoughts?
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
So I was thinking you were talking about the petroleum-based products and the prices and everything. I'm in the construction industry. It also goes in, it hits us here with
of
vinyl
course.
Siding, vinyl windows, vinyl flooring, electrical boxes,
right.
The coating that goes on wiring, all that stuff is all petroleum based, and that's why we're seeing a huge rise in prices on that.
Yeah, I mean, it covers, I mean, I was in construction most of my life, so I'm with you. I mean, all the things that even tools are, you know, made with petroleum based. Type items.
Silicone is it?
Yeah.
Silicone's another big one. That I just went and got a couple tubes of silicone, and it seems like the prices just went up overnight on the silicone prices.
So, what is 100% silicone going for a tube now?
It's $8.
Yeah. Because I used to pay, when I was in business, anywhere depending on the brand, $3.50 to $4.75 a tube. You know, so
yeah, this is the GE Advanced Silicone. It's $7.98 at Lowe's right now.
Yeah, that's what I used to use. I don't know if it still comes in the gray too. But yeah, we used to seal the backsplashes on our countertops, you know, with silicone because it just holds up better. It's used around your windows to seal them up.
Yep.
I'm
putting a sliding glass door in today, and that's what I'm using it for.
Yeah.
Well, let's think about this. Over 6,000 items are made out of petroleum. A 42-gallon barrel of oil creates 19.5 gallons of gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else goes to make the things like we're talking about this morning.
Yeah, the byproduct of that, yeah.
Right. I mean, it also goes in to make shoes, purses, dyes, putty.
Tape,
but right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sweaters. I mean, we make clothes from. And here's the thing: the very tree huggers, the tree huggers that don't want you to wear leather, are the ones wearing the petroleum-based shoes. That's what kills me.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get up there, you got to chain yourself and stop the production.
Right.
Are we just all going to go shoeless now? Because you can't wear leather.
Right.
But you can't.
And well,
you
even can't, asphalt shingles on a house. I'm sitting in Lowe's right now. Like the boots that go around your vent pipes on your roof are made out of petroleum. The shingles are made out of petroleum.
Yep.
And the vinyl flooring.
Water bottle, shoes, and backpacks that they talk about are made out of petroleum.
Yep.
So, you know, it's crazy.
Well, and they don't want you to use wood flooring.
I would say Lowe's is 80% petroleum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. They don't want you to use wood flooring, but... You can't use vinyl flooring. because it's going to be so. We learn nothing from history. Yeah. Nothing.
Hey, Chris, thanks for the call. We got somebody else wants to check in. Be safe out there putting your door in.
It's the whole straw thing all over again.
Right.
We had to stop using plastic straws because it was killing trees.
Right.
And now we have plastic straws, which use petroleum and kills our animals.
Right, sure.
Good job, mankind.
We'll have to try that unless that person calls me back here in the next 10 seconds. That call just fell off the phone system. But yeah, Chris is right. I mean, everywhere you look around in your house, there's petroleum-based products in your house. And not only that, it was petroleum that gave the energy probably to build those. Hello, you're on the Morning Jam. Good morning.
Oh.
Who do we have?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
I'm very sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, wow.
Apparently he called the wrong number.
Yeah. So, it's just that it takes the power, the natural gas, the coal, whatever, you know, in this cases of nuclear power, that's different. But a lot of our power supply comes from burning fossil fuels of some kind. But I think they want to drive us back. As I've said, you know, they want to take us to North Korea. You can't heat your house either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because many of those things, like our gas that comes into our house to run our heater, they say that's bad.
That's right.
Bad gas.
So we've been talking about how a lot of things, you know, disappear. Sometimes strange things disappear. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of those stories lately. Right. And then, of course, coming off Halloween, we had some, like, you know, kind of weird stories.
Yeah.
This is kind of a weird story.
Okay.
It's a good story, I think. The head of an Italian marble statue in a New Brunswick cemetery was left next to the monument more than two decades after it was stolen.
Hmm.
Jenny Steves died at age 15 in 1900. Her mother had an Italian marble statue erected in her honor at the family's plot at the Grays Island Cemetery in Hillsborough in 1930.
Okay.
The statue was subject to numerous acts of vandalism because people stink. And the head ultimately disappeared in the 90s. Kathleen Wallace, whose father was the nephew of Steve's mother, said the statue had long been the subject of local superstitions. There were all kinds of stories about the monument, that it was haunted, that it had the eyes had rubies in them, but none of that's true. It was just there for the family plot and was a great memory of Jenny.
Okay.
Wallace said she and her sister filed police reports, but the disappearance remained a mystery. Wallace said she was shocked when she saw a recent Facebook photo of the statue. It showed the statue with the head beside it. The head had been returned.
Hmm.
Apparently, the cemetery's keeper brought the head to Wallace's home for safekeeping. They said a relative of the person who created the statue offered to restore it to original condition, and they are happy to have it back, but have no idea where it's been.
Wow.
For the last 20 years.
How about that?
Weird.
That is bizarre.
But nice that it's returned.
Yeah. Kind of like my cat return.
The hooligan's not going to be held accountable, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
Hey, make today awesome. We'll do this again tomorrow. Come to the table Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.